פרק למד פסוק אלף הרסה. ותרא רחל כי לא יולד על יעקב וכנה רחל באחסה ותאמר על יעקב הבלי בנים ועם עין מסה אנוכי. רמב"ן, הבלי בנים, אומר המפורשם שתסבלו עליי ועם עין מסה אנוכי. לשון רש"י שמי שאין לו בנים חושב כמס, והוא מדרש על אבותינו. So then seemingly the pasuk, the pshat in the pasuk is that Rachel Imenu is requesting that Yaakov daven on her behalf, because she's saying that the situation, the current situation, is that I'm kemes, which is a correct comparison. Vani tamea, says the Ramban. So im kain lama chara apa v'lama ama hasachas elokim anochi v'shomeil atzadigim Hashem. Rachel's request that Yaakov should daven on her behalf was an appropriate request. U'masha ama abba lohoyu lobonim ani yesh li bonim mimech mana mimeni lomana. So how in the world does one make sense of that? V'chiyat tzadikim einan mispalim ba'ad acherim. V'hine Eliyahu ve'Elisha hispalu ba'ad noshim nochriyos. Mirish v'shvil zeh tofsuhu avoseinu. That's why Chazal taka fault Yaakov Avinu. Amu v'vesh yisrael v'amu HaKadosh Baruch v'kach onin es ha-me'ikos. Is that how you answer those who are b'tza'ar? Chayecha shebanecha asivim lama lufnei b'na. V'aderach ha-pshat, omer Rachel Yaakov, she'itein labonim. U'be'emes, daita loma she'yispalal aleha she'itein labonim al kopanim. He shouldn't relent in his tefillah until it's answered. V'im ayin, not mesa anochi, if the tefillah is not answered, am chashuva kemes, v'im ayin mesa anochi, shetomis atzma b'tza'ar. So let's hold off for a minute on translating those three words of shetomis atzma b'tza'ar. Now, according to this Havana, Dibra Shalok Kahogim Bikinasa. According to this understanding, the Ramban says, so we do understand how Rachel Imenu spoke inappropriately. She basically laid down the gauntlet, as it were. So it's clear, well, the way the Ramban says it originally, you wonder, I mean, can it possibly mean it? What Rachel Imenu was threatening suicide, Rachman Ratzlan? Shatomis Asma Betzar? So that couldn't have been what it meant, even if we didn't have the Hemshech of Ramban. But to make it easier for us, so we do have the Hemshech, it's quite clear that what she's saying is that she's telling him, I'm not going to deal with the Tsar. I won't be able to deal with the Tsar, and the Tsar will kill me. Meaning my inability to come to terms with the infertility, I'll die from that. I'm not gonna. Don't think that even if I don't have children, that echshu I'm gonna be mezgaber. I'm telling you that I'm not gonna be mezgaber. And it's clear that that's a. It's clear in svara that's what it has to mean. But b. It's also reinforced that what when the Ramban says it again, He says that the yispal ad sheyula bonin shalotomus betzaira, not shalotomus atzma betzaira, but shalotomus betzaira, and it's clear that's what it means initially also. But afal pichein, it's a type of ultimatum, as it were, meaning don't think that there's a third possibility, which is that I'll be misgaber and that I'll deal with it. I'm not going to be misgaber, and the tsar is so great, it will kill me, unless you, through your tefillah, through your intercession, see to it that I'm blessed with children. That's why Vayichar Af Yaakov She'ein Tefillas HaTzadikim B'Yodon She'tishama V'Teyon El Kofon. You know, people sometimes like to quote that Tzadik goes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Mekayem. So whatever that does mean, it doesn't mean what people think it means when they quote it. Ribono Shel Olam runs the world, and if for some reason the Ritzon Hashem is implacably one way, because that's the way it's supposed to be, so it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter who the tzaddik is. Yaakov Avinu is the Becher HaOvos. It doesn't matter who the tzaddik is, who's davening. Sometimes, for reasons that we may or may not understand, something is the right thing, and that's why the Ratzon Hashem is that it has to be that way. And it's not the case that if only the tzaddik will give us a bracha, if only the tzaddik will say that, then it has to happen. Nothing has to happen. There's no has to happen vis-a-vis HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what Ramban is saying. She'ein tefillas hatzadikim biyodam she'tishoma v'te'ona al koponim. There's no such thing as even tzadikim being able to automatically ensure results, being able to automatically ensure that the tefillah will be accepted. So that strategy to frighten him with the prospect of her death, as though if only he would be frightened, then he could ensure or guarantee results. So that's what angered Yaakov Avinu. He can daven. And the bottom line is that's all he can do. And the biggest tzaddik in the world, the Becher HaOvos, cannot guarantee that a tefillah will be answered. Ve'einenu choshesh b'adavar. Why did Yaakov Avinu? Why? What's that? Hashemana mimeich v'lo mimeni. Ve'einenu choshesh b'adavar ki mimenu nimna pi abotin v'lo mimenu. Why does he say that? V'zel liyaser osa lahachlima. You know, there are times in life when a person finds himself in extremely trying circumstances. And there's no one would question the reality or the formidability of the person's suffering, as the case may be, or the person's nisyonos, as the case may be. But it doesn't relieve a person of complying with basic standards in all areas, whether emunah, whether midos, diktuk b'mitzvahs. Yaakov Avinu is not, again, according to the Mahalat that the Ramban is presenting here, he's not insensitive. He's certainly not invalidating Rachel's suffering. But Afal Pichet, a person has to measure up to whatever the challenge at hand is, no matter how real and how difficult and how formidable. V'hine atzadekes b'rosso shelo tuchal lihisomech al tfilas Yaakov shava lihispalel al atzma al shomei tzaoka. So these three lines in the Ramban all the lines in the Ramban are extraordinary, but maybe here we can a little bit appreciate that. At the beginning of Sefer Shmuel, so v'chana maris nafesh, v'atispala al Hashem atoma, and we know that tefillah is answered. Elokei Yisrael yitein eshei lasech, that the tefillah is answered. What happened? So the Rav explains halfway b'fella. What preceded Chana's tefillah is they're going after Shiloh, Pnina with all her children, her whole brood, and Chana childless, and Elkanah gives her the mana achas apoyim, the double portion. So Chana's crying. So he says to her, Chana loma sifki, v'loma yera alavavech, aloha nochi tov loch me'asar v'anam. After that, so then the Navi tells us, v'chana moriz nafesh, v'atzispal al Hashem atonga. So says the Rav, As great as Chana's suffering had been, she had a little bit of consolation. She thought that at least her husband, who was devoted to her, could at least empathize and at least understand. Then she sees, he says to her, Chana, lama sifki, lama yerel vavech. She sees that he's clueless. He doesn't begin to understand what the suffering is of being childless. She realizes at that point that she has no one in the world, nothing in the world, other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And then, this is not the, obviously not the first time Chana davened. She wasn't sitting around and without tefillah all the years. But now, when she realizes that there's no one else in the world, that there's nothing else in the world, so that's when she davens, the tefillah Chana as we have it, and that's when she's answered. There's a very, very beautiful story. A true story. Some stories are beautiful, even though they're not true. But this is a beautiful story that is true. In the Ukraine, in the 19th century, so the Devil Talmud was known as a big Paul Yeshuas. People used to come to him, and they would see Yeshuas. So the story is that one of his brothers, who was also a Rebbe, Rabbi Yochanan Rachman Strifka, asked him, "B'meh kochacha gadol?" Like, how do you do it? People come to me also, and I daven for them, and I'm machavin all the kavonas. And do everything possible, and I'm not able to attain those results. How do you do it? So his brother answers him. His brother Talmud answers him. So they come to you. He says, so right away you embrace them. You greet them with such warmth, and you embrace them so lovingly. Devei chizuk. And you tell them truthfully, yes, you're going to daven on their behalf. He says, they come to me, he says, first of all, they have to wait for 4 months before they're let in to have an audience. During those 4 months, they're sleeping on the hard bench at night in the cold Beis Medrash. There's no, the coal's not burning. Because finally, after 4 months, when it's their turn, so the gabbai tells them, it's going to be your turn now, but you have only 2 minutes with the rebbe. And you should know, don't you dare overstay by as much as a second. 2 minutes, and that's it. At this point, the guy's so terrified, says when he gets in, he says it takes him a minute to compose himself. He begins to eichshehu present his bakosha, and the gabbai opens the door and yells, 30 seconds, mechutzah, 30 seconds, and then out. On his way out, he says, I say something to him which is very, very ambiguous. Did I give him a bracha? Didn't I give him a bracha? He leaves my room, he's devastated. Totally tzubach. He leaves my room, he goes out, and he gives a krecht, he gives a sigh. And he says, this is the one who was supposed to be the Paul Yeshua. This was supposed to be my Yeshua. This was the last hope. And he gives a krecht, and he says, Ribon Shalom, I have no one to turn to, I have no one to rely upon other than you. And Rav David says, in Shamayim, they're waiting for that krecht. That's what this Ramban says. V'hine ha-tzadeges b'rosa sh'latucha l'isomech al-tulis Yaakov. Kol's man that Rachel Imenu, was Rachel not davening? Of course she was davening. I thought that Rachel was davening. But Kol's man that Rachel thought that Yaakov's tefillah could be poel, she wasn't davening totally. She wasn't invested 1,000% leiv nefesh in the tefillah. However, there also shall tuchal the samech atfilas Yaakov. She gave the krechts. So then shavel his power atzma. Exactly what the Rav says about tefillas chana. Exactly that story. Shavel his power atzma. V'zehu vayishma eileh elokim. And that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu was waiting for. When a person davens, person has to daven, again, that 1,000%, we're not relying on each other. We're not relying. When a person davens, and then the tefillah taka hits home. They tell a story in one of the one of the volumes from a Pincus that was published posthumously. I think he had someone who also, was childless. So they say that the Pincus, again, for years trying, davening, whatever his shtablis could be made, davening. So then the Pincus picks him up. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. It's 1 o'clock in the morning. Goes out to some forlorn, abandoned place. Drops him off. Tells him to daven, and he drives away. Comes back a little while later. Doesn't see enough tears. Doesn't see that his face is, has the traces of enough tears. And again, he leaves him there and says, "I'm going away." He was trying to engender within that person that sense of giving the kracht and Ribono Shel'Olam, there is no one else, there is nothing else for me to be turning to. Obviously, that doesn't mean to the exclusion of any hishtablus that a person is supposed to be making. But what it means is that when a person davens, that's the mindset, not the attitude. Not chas v'shalom to the exclusion of any hishtablus that a person is supposed to be making in whatever the area is. Maybe the pshat in the way Chazal understood the pasuk, the difficulty which the Ramban had raised with it is, so Rachel Imenu asks Yaakov to daven. She says, because right now I'm chashuv kemeis, so why is Yaakov angry with him? So according to Chazal, it must be that what Chazal understands is the following: Ki Yaakov iyashu shalom nispalel al ishto ha'ahuva ki akarehi. Ella shalom niskal b'tfilaso. It's not that Rachel is now asking him that he, for the first time, should daven for her. No, obviously, he's been davening all along for her. But his tefillah wasn't accepted. Uba ata Rachel his ola lolov loma sheyitim labonim al koponim b'tfilaso kilo nofil hume olav she'asakein. In which case, so what Rachel is saying is not a request to first daven, but is a demand that he ensure the results, but is a demand that he attain those results. So that's why that's why Yaakov Avinu pushes back as he does. Other nishmat filasa shuvtzadik v'asibli aslozera. Well, he nimna min menu pi batin v'nochon hu. That's the correct pshat in what Chazal mean. Let's perhaps take a look here in pasuk tes, paraglav in pasuk tes. The Torah laya ki onda miladas v'tika chazilpa shivchasa v'titein osa liyakov l'isha. Lo yadati, says the Ramban, ma hamasa hazel uleya. V'loman nosno shevchasa lebaila. V'hi lo hoysa akara shetibana mimena. V'ein darach hanoshim lehavos noshim lebaileya. Nicha, so Rachel gives Bilha to to Yaakov, V'ibana gam anochi mimena. But Leah is already through Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, have all been born already. So what's, but what's, why is Leah giving Zilpha? Aval nitzarech lama ki hayu nevios yodos, ki hayu nevios, the imos were nevios, and as such, yodos, they knew, she'asad Yaakov v'hamid yud v'shvatim. V'ratzisa she'yu lo rov habonim mimena, o mishivchasa she'hi v'rshusa. So again, at this point, Leah has four of the of what she knows, Benavula will be 12. So she wants that either she should be the mother, or at least through the vicariously through her shivcha, that rov the bonim should be mimena. Below tiskaber achosa aleh bonim. L'chach omen nasen l'kim tzchari asher nasati shivchasi le'ishi. So what does this mean? That there's a sibling rivalry here between the Leah has a vis-a-vis Rachel? So there's a very, very important yisod in learning Chumash. Let's say late in Parshas Vayeshev. So the Torah records that the Shiftei Kar hated Yosef. So how is it possible that the Shiftei Kar were guilty of such base emotions as kinna and sinna? It's inconceivable. Me'idir gisa, it's impossible. And ein mikra yetzim zepshuta. So how do we learn Chumash? So, Marshal Amad Avadama. Let's say, Chveis, you're learning, I don't know, let's say you're learning Yerushalmi Shriyas this year. And you come across Yerushalmi and you don't have Pshat. So you'll go over to a pshat on the Beis Medrash, Yerushalmi, and you'll ask what's pshat, and he'll say, it's Taka Shver Yerushalmi. I don't know. Okay, then you'll try again. You'll go to a pre-1A class with your Yerushalmi, and you'll ask one of the kids in pre-1A, what's pshat? And he'll also say, I don't know. So they both said the exact same words. I don't know. Verbatim response. You got the identical response. What's Pshat? So Pshat is telling you, yeah, it contradicts another Yerushalmi later. It's against the Bavli here. It's against so much we assume. I don't know what you're Yerushalmi. The P1A kid is telling you, you know, we're only up to hay in the Aleph Beis. There's a lot of funny shapes here, but they're not Alves given that all hay, so I don't know. I don't know what this means. The same words, it's not enukimta. What words mean need to be seen and understood in context. Did the brothers hate Yosef? Absolutely. Vayikanu also. Vayisna also. It's mefurish and psukim. They hated him. If someone asked, did the brothers hate Yosef? So the answer is yes. Does in our marshal, did Rav Shechel know Pshat in Yerushalmi? No, he told you he didn't know Pshat. He said, I don't know. Does that mean that Vayisnu also of the brothers means the same thing that it means to us when we think of ourselves being guilty of hating someone? Absolutely not. No more than in the marshal, the two I don't know responses meant the same thing. I was once talking about this and gave that marshal. And someone came over later and told me a story that he had heard from the son-in-law of a firstborn. The firstborn was the, in his youth, had been the Bochain in Meir Shapiro's Yeshiva Chachmin Lublin, and then in North America was the chief rabbi of Montreal, and was a very, very, very big bookie. So his son-in-law told the following story, that an Avvik once came over to a Hirschman, and also, but this isn't the Moshe, this was the Maisi Shahaya, and asked him Akasha, I think Akasha Natosis. And the Hirschman said, I don't know. And then the guy walked away, and you could see he was feeling very good about himself, you know, his Kasha stumped the Hirschman. So the firstborn turned to his son-in-law and said, he thinks that his I don't know and my I don't know are the same. So did the Shifteikah hate Yosef? Yes. Is their hatred what it means to us to hate? Absolutely not. What does it mean? I don't know. I don't think we have any Muslim. But then, how do you learn Chumash? So the Tanit says that we're supposed to learn Pshat, but recognizing that we're understanding Pshat of what this means on our level, without knowing, without penetrating to what it actually meant on the level of the others. How do we know that we're supposed to do that? Maybe we should just say that we don't understand these Pshukim Chumash. No, because you see, Chazal did that. Chazal said, Iron Shabbos, for instance, says, right, so the pasuk says that how's the lashon pasuk that Yaakov or this Yosef kiven skunim hulo, but also lo son is passing. That Yaakov Avinu of all the brothers loved Yosef and us. The Yisrael Oav is Yosef Mikol Banav, Kiven Zakunim Halov, Osalov Sanas Pasim. So did Yaakov love Yosef more than the other brothers? Yes. Does that mean that Yaakov Avinu was guilty of violating rule number one of parenthood, which is don't play favorites, and even if one child temperamentally is more like you than other children, or one child is more accomplished for whatever reason, you have to love all your children equally, and you cannot show any favoritism? Does that mean that Yaakov Avinu didn't understand rule A of parenting that we all understand? Of course it doesn't mean that. What does it mean? I don't know. But Afal Pichain, Chazal say, and the Gemara in Shabbos says on that Pasuk, that Al Yishana Odom Ben Ben Abonim. Chazal say, no, you learn from this Pasuk that parents should not play favorites. But again, what playing favorites means for us, again, on a very, very low, crude level, this child was an easier child. He doesn't give the parents any tzaras. This child is more temperamentally like the parents, so it's easier for the parents to understand the child and get along with that child. So Chazal are telling us on that very simple level, on the level in which it relates to us and in which it resonates with us, and they're deriving from the Pesukim again, that's obviously not what was going on with Yaakov Avinu. So the point is that when the Torah describes something like this, I don't know, maybe when Rabbi Akiva learned these psukim, so maybe Rabbi Akiva really understood what it means that they had kinah and sinah. Maybe Rabbi Akiva really understood. I don't know. We clearly don't understand. So, but A, we have to recognize that we don't actually understand. But B, Afal Pichein, we're still supposed to understand what that means on our level. Because Torah wasn't given only for Rabbi Akiva to learn Chumash. We're all supposed to be Ma'ariv Sedra. We're all supposed to be learning Chumash. So the Torah is intended to be understood on our level as well. Chiddush HaRim says, Chiddush HaRim, as a preface to, in Parshas Chukas, to discussing what Moshe Rabbeinu's chait is. So you'll say, isn't it the ultimate chutzpah? He says, for me sitting here, I'm sitting in judgment on Moshe Rabbeinu, the Bechir HaMina Anoshi. Pel, Pel, David Bo, B'mar Bo, B'chivos, Madu Elo Yereisim, David Ba'avdi B'moshe. So the Chiddush HaRim says, but it's a pasuk in Chumash. If it's a pasuk in Chumash, so it means that we're supposed to learn from the pasuk in Chumash. So I'm saying what the chait was on our level, on the level on which we can understand it. Do we think that corresponds to historically what was? No. Does the pasuk also have a historical meaning? Absolutely yes. I don't know. Maybe some of the greatest chachmim and rasha of the generation do understand on that level as well. But the point is that it means something on a lower level as well. Same thing here. Is this what does it mean I want that the majority of the 12 should be from me? They shouldn't be from Rachel. What does that mean? I don't know what it means. In terms of what it meant for Leah, I don't know that we can be masik. But Lachara, we can, and we're supposed to understand something that it means on our level, something that we can relate to. On our level, what it illustrates, again, not on the historical level of actually what was going on in Leah's mind and what Leah was doing, but on our level, on the level that, again, which is also a valid level of understanding of the psukim. Mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma. Part of mitoch shelo lishma bo lishma means using midos, which are not such good midos, to achieve good results. There is a natural, right? Sibling rivalry is something that one often sees. One often sees. If one looks in the mirror and recognizes, yeah, I'm still at an age, a stage, whatever that chronological age may be, where I do experience the sibling rivalry. So then, what the person is supposed to do is channel it into competing in Yanim Ruchaniyim, not competing in Inyanim Gashmiyim. That doesn't mean that there's a complacency not to try to be misaking that midah. But it means if the midah is there anyway, so let me at least channel it letova. Which is basically what is predicated upon, is that we're drawing upon not out of complacency, but just other. But we're drawing upon those less than noble inclinations or whatever that we have to advance in Dvarim Ruchani. Bam is the first pasuk we looked at. It's again on our level is the same limud. But Takani Rachel Ba'achos, Rachel was jealous. That's what the words mean. Rachel Minu was jealous. So what does it really mean? I don't know. That's the first one, because I don't know what Rachel's kina is. What does it mean for us? Kina b'masa tovim. Chach. We all have a capacity for jealousy. There's a human capacity for jealousy. Should a person be complacent about it? Absolutely not. But if I know I have that midah of jealousy, so let me at least be jealous of someone else's midos, of someone else's hasmada, of someone else's yirah shamayim, rather than things which are outside the realm of ruchanius. Doesn't that just reinforce those undesirable traits? If it's one's sense of sibling rivalry which is pushing one in a certain direction, if it's one's jealousy that's pushing one in a certain direction, so does that? But by drawing upon it, so is a person just reinforcing it? Is a person just solidifying it? So the answer is, if simultaneously the person is aware that, you know, jealousy is not a good thing, sibling rivalry is not a good thing, so then the effect will be that the fact that he or she is jealous of the siblings midos tovos, and because of that, no, so I'm gonna get next year's midos award, not my brother, not my sister. So that effort to work on the midos, The shalom lishma will help gufa, helps to undercut the midah that the person is drawing upon. The Torah, learning, that a person might be motivated to mitoch kina. As long as the person is aware of the fact, you know, that this isn't the ideal, this isn't the way it's supposed to be, but this is where I'm holding now. But the person is aware that this isn't the ideal. So then the Torah goof is going to be mashpir on him and have a cleansing effect and an uplifting and elevating effect that will help him become a bigger and less petty person. So the fact that one uses these midos that need correction, that need to be misukanos for dvarim ruchaniyim, doesn't reinforce them. If a person does it without that awareness, if the person is just learning more out of kina without a recognition that, you know, kina is not a good thing and this isn't the ideal, so then ein hachanami, that doesn't necessarily yield the result that we're looking for. But if it's with that awareness, so then a person is supposed to use it. A person is supposed to draw upon it. If that's the way to be mizdares, to do a mitzvah, to learn, to work on midos, so a person does draw upon it, but needs to have that self-awareness, you know, that this isn't the ideal, but this is where I'm holding at the moment.